Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to start winning.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
In the chat once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CP, JD, Sports Talk in the building. The Knicks weekly recap, aka the Sunday pod, but we're doing it on Monday because we played yesterday. And on these shows, we recap the week that was Knicks, the good, bad, the ugly, and all that in between. We'll also do our game of the week preview, tonight's preview. We're going to talk Knicks versus Bulls with special guest Corey Taliba, the Hardwood Herald, friend of the program. And then we'll go around the league, talk about a couple of highlights around the league this week, man. So let's get into it. As usual, this show is presented by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. We got Dave on the boards taking the calls. We'll also take your phone calls. 657-383-1509 is the number to call. Or you could hit us up on the Knicks Fan TV Discord. JD, how you feeling, man? How was your weekend, bro?
Well, I'm feeling good today. You know, sometimes after we're reviewing the week, so it was a 2-1 week. So, you know, we're over 500.
Yeah.
And coming off a tough loss. So last night it was a little tough.
Yeah.
But today's a new day, and you know, just like a professional athlete, I'm locked in. Saw some interviews today with a few players and the coach. And after hearing the team, you know, my energy now, my focus is shifting on coming week. I think it's an important week for the team.
That's good, man, because it was like a funeral in here yesterday, man. I mean, you know, first loss of the season, it's like we don't know how to act.
Yeah.
We're losing it now. I'm here. I'm getting messages on Instagram. This is the Hawks series all over again. I mean, game 3 out of 82. It's the Hawks series all over again. I don't know what's going on with RJ. What's going on? Julius is shooting too much. I mean,
you know, you know what it is a little bit of just the expectations going into this season, right?
Through the roof.
The hype, the anticipation. You know, we talked about on the first game on our pregame show at Mustangs, Harry, about was this one of the most anticipated seasons since maybe 2012 or 2013. So, and that's just you and I feeling that way. Imagine the thousands and thousands of Knicks fans feeling similar to that feeling.
Yeah.
So you can just imagine the energy that the fan base has brought, and especially after that opening night at the Garden.
It was big, man.
You know, where you saw some incredible performances. And, you know, you're going into it thinking the next two games, that, you know, okay, we're going to start 3-0.
Yeah.
And then we had a little bit of a step back, and now the sky is falling. So I agree with you, man. Is 3 of 82. People have to put perspective on it. And there's 79 more games to be
79
played.
So more wait. People. If you put your heart out there in every game, you're going to need a pacemaker. Trust me. Trust me, man. You're going to have to tune that up, because this is Cardi. They don't call them the Cardiac Knicks for nothing. So you better hold on, buckle up, and get ready for a long, long season. But nevertheless, bro, listen, there was a lot of good things to look at when we review this week. I mean, when you look at the schedule, obviously we know there's going to be some you know, tough sledding ahead. And yes, we did want to go 3-0, but look, we went 2-1 on that campaign. You got a good win against a Celtic team that you figure is going to be right there neck and neck with you all year, you know, if everybody stays healthy. You got a nice double overtime win and a thriller at MSG to kick the season off, dropping 136 points, no less. Then you go into Orlando, you wash them up, and then you have a letdown game. I think all in all, there's more positive for me to take away than negative in this week. There's a lot more positive than negative for me to take away.
Right, and if you want to look at a certain perspective here, you can look at that Celtics game. Like, I know we're coming off the Orlando loss, but – you know, listen, it happens with the best of them, too. You know, at the end of the day, this Knicks team is going to be evaluated on how we do against that top tier to mid tier teams. You know, we talk about the Celtics were one of those teams. You know, the Bulls are going to be one of those teams. Mm-hmm. You know, the Sixers, like the Hawks, you know, Indiana, Miami, like. I'm sure Knicks fans want to play well against those teams. And so we got one out the way, and we just had a setback against a team that's, you know, going to be in the lottery. And I understand that, hey, listen, yes, no excuses. You want to beat the teams that you're supposed to. But I'm also encouraged by how we fought in that first game at the Garden. And listen, you know, I'm looking at some of these statistics here in terms of, you know, only 3-game sample size, but the Knicks are in the top end of a lot of these offensive numbers. And like we mentioned, they haven't even played their best yet. There's a couple of players on the team that haven't reached their potential yet. We have a couple of players that are struggling. We have a couple of key players that are struggling. And all in all, it compiles a thriller double overtime win against what looks to be a pretty good team. And we know we split 1-1 against the Orlando Magic. It's a 2-1 week. You know, let's go 2-1 again. And now we're 2 games over .500. You keep doing it that way. Next thing you know, you're going to have a very good season.
You got to string them together. And I said 138 against the Seas, 136 against the Seas. We put up 138. In a game that, I mean, I felt like, you know, yes, it was the first game of the season, but I felt like you really saw the potential of this offense right then and there early. Obviously, it was going to be spearheaded by Julius, 35-9-8. You know, monster game. You had Mitch, 11 points, 17 boards, which and Mitch has carried that through each game. You know, getting on the glass, showing his defensive presence, intimidating, blocking shots. You know, Mitch's defense has been on point, 5 of 5 in that opener. You had 10 from Kemba, 32 obviously from Fournier, who went crazy in the OT and double OT. 19 for RJ. Obi with 14, and he didn't even have a great game from Rose. I mean, still inefficient, you know, not even efficient. He had 9 points, 5 of dimes, but, you know, Rose and Burks go off. This offense could be lethal, man. So I still thought even despite the tough loss last night, listen, I thought you saw some potential in this offense even in the first two games.
Right, and that using that game, and not only the final score, not the fact that we went to double overtime and all that stuff, but also it's the way that we played. That, you know, when this team is going to be at its highest peak offensively, I'm sure Tom Thibodeau is going to want to see a lot of what he saw against the Celtics. For example, Obi in that game showed you an element that he can bring to the team when he's coming off the bench and he's, you know, he's leaking out after shots. He's running. He's, you know, he's active. He's playing defense. Mm-hmm. You know, the two-man game between Evan Fournier and Randle, we saw that against the Celtics. We saw a little bit of everything. Rose coming late and being, you know, being the closer. So I think that Celtics game, in terms of the way that we played offensively, you know, as the season goes along, Tibbs is going to want us to peak somewhere near that. And if we do, we're going to be very, very difficult to defend. I mean, this team, you know, still has it's three games, you know, and that's why I'm so interested to see how we respond this week, because now this week, you know, we have some competition coming up. And it's going to give us an early test. And I'm interested to see how we play, you know, what type of play calls are being called. How is the offense being called? And hopefully, listen, I want to get a couple of close games as well, just to see, you know, just to get the team to gain some of that experience, like, you know, against the Celtics.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And one of the positives, as you mentioned to me, was that chemistry that was on display between Julius and Fournier. We saw a lot of it in the double overtime against the Celtics. The stat that came out was that Julius had passed it to Fournier 20 times in that game. We saw it again in Orlando when they were playing very well off each other. You know, Julius finding Fournier moving well off the ball, off of the screens like he usually does. Julius finding him for some nice corner threes. Julius getting some easy buckets in the pick and roll, something that I want to see more often because we have so many playmakers that can get him going. But you saw that with Fournier. He and Julius connecting on couple nice plays in Orlando to get Julius going downhill. And so that was certainly a positive for me because, again, Fournier, what he can bring to this offense is not just a reliable three-point shooter, but the playmaking, which is going to be critical, especially in our half-court offense. But you're also looking at a guy that can get us going in transition as well. So when he's on, this offense is certainly on as well.
And that's going to be one of the key elements. You know, I think Alec Burks is a little bit of an X factor because you saw, for example, against Orlando, you know, Tibbs tried to go with a combination of him and RJ. I've always said that I think Alec Burks is a slightly better defender than Evan Fournier because of his lateral quickness. Alec Burks can defend, you know, quicker guards a little bit better than Fournier in terms of keeping the player in front of him. So him having that advantage, if he's on, then you talk about a bench that has Derrick Rose. You know, you have Quickly that you're trying to get going. There's a lot of options. Obi, Alec Burks is like, you know, a special ingredient to this team because even though he's coming off the bench, he is a player that Tom Thibodeau has already shown that he has confidence in, you know, leaving him out there in closing situations. Yeah. And Burks is a versatile player. So depending on how the game goes, he can play multiple positions for you and you can take some risk throwing him out there in different, you know, positions. So Alec Burks to me is a very important player for this team.
Yeah.
You know, when every team has certain players that if they get going, then the rest of the team is hard to defend. And he is one of those elements. If him and Rose get going together, I don't know how you stop this Knicks bench.
That's a fact. And I think it's contagious, man. And I appreciate you bigging up my guy Burks as a member of the
You
Burks
set
Hive.
Me up, man.
Yeah, as a member of the Burks
Hive. I
appreciate that. But look, it's all. I think it's contagious, man. I felt like the hot shooting the first two games was contagious, and I thought them bricking away in the last game was contagious. I mean, you had RJ Fournier and Burks, you know, shoot putrid percentages, and yet and still they almost had a chance to win the game. So again, there's a lot of scoring depth there in this lineup, and I think there'll be a lot more good days and bad. They just caught us on an off night. Another good, I feel like, has been Derrick Rose, man, because he's been really, really solid running the second unit. And again, a reliable closing option. You know, Rose was great, man. Then he had 14 and 5 over the week, 58% from downtown. Shooting numbers is super, super efficient, bro. He's just spry, man, and he's getting everybody going. He's got the chemistry going with Obi. You automatically see the pace quicken when Rose is in the game, and that's benefiting everybody on that second unit, including Obi, or especially Obi. In that second unit, I thought Rose has been phenomenal this week. He's had a great week.
Yeah, and he's continuing to build off an outstanding season last season with the Knicks when he shot 41% from three. He talked about that today in one of his, you know, in his player interviews about, you know, the evolution of his 3-point shot, where he said he's always felt he's been capable. But feeling that you're capable and actually executing it is two different things. And that's what he's been doing since he's become a Knick. And right now he's at 58% from three. And, you know, they're all been is they felt like all his threes have been important threes,
yeah,
you know, and that's been one of the key things. You know, we talk about Derrick Rose closing games, but it's also Derrick Rose throughout the whole game, CP. It just seems like from the moment he comes in,
it's been great.
Every single, you know, everything that he contributes is timely. It's important.
Yeah.
It either leads to runs, it leads to rhythm.
Yeah.
It just leads to effective play. It's winning
effective,
basketball.
Yeah.
And we saw against the Celtics when, you know, Kemba, I believe that game played 36, 37 minutes. And Rose comes in for like, you know, a few possessions because Thibodeau inserted him late, hits that teardrop, and, you know, he closes the game. And this is what I've been saying about him. You know, we did the show and I felt that, you know, he is an MVP like player for the Knicks, because I just feel that, you know, as you can see with the Hawks series, as you can see now with the letdown against the Magic, he still play well.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Rose is not fazed by pressure situations. Derrick Rose is not fazed by, you know, bad play.
Yep.
He continues to persevere, and he is a player that just excels, you know, whenever the team is needs him, you know, he responds. And so I'm excited about his season. Three games, he's played all three. He looks healthy.
Yeah,
he looks
great.
Spry.
Looks great, man.
He's been active defensively. All in all, you know, now let's see how Thibodeau manages him. You know, you kind of want to keep him the way you have him. But, you know, let's see how Kemba plays and let's see how Thibodeau manages the rotation. But Rose has been outstanding.
No doubt about it. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CPJD on the ones and twos on the Knicks weekly recap. Hit that like button. Call us up, 657-383-1509. As I said, we're just recapping the week, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to get into our Knicks versus Bulls game of the week preview, going up against a hot Bulls team right now, probably one of the hottest in the NBA right now. They were just washing up the Magic tonight. I'm not sure. I mean, the Raptors tonight, not sure what the score is right now in the fourth quarter, because I know the Raptors did cut it a little bit, but that Bulls team is playing well.
They're up two.
Oh, up
11
two.
11 seconds. 110 to 108.
Wow.
Have it here.
Okay. All right.
With 11 seconds to go.
Interesting.
Not sure who has possession, but
yeah, man.
Down to the wire.
Russell,
see, that's the NBA.
That's the NBA for you. Yeah, because they were damn near up by 20-something the last time I checked. So that's the NBA, man. Game of runs. This is why Tibbs ain't playing the kids, man. He's going starters and rotation plays for full 48 minutes, man, because he can't take the chance. Shout out Russell Whiskey, sent a super chat. He says yesterday's loss meant that we got to trade everyone, fire the coach and staff, and bring back Fizdale. Yeah, that was basically the tone of the chat yesterday, man. We were down bad. Yeah. You know, we were definitely down bad. But
I mean, we wouldn't have a team today, I guess, if the fans got what they wanted, because they wanted half the team traded.
Yeah,
so.
No question. No question, man. Another highlight, as I said, was Mitch. And I think one highlight is that he got through this week healthy.
I think this is going to be our tune every week, CP. Like,
man,
got through it.
Got through this week healthy after two scares against the Magic. Home and the road. But while he was on the court, man, like I said, I mean, we saw it with our own eyes against the Celtics in the home opener. Just the way his presence was felt on the defensive end, changing shots, you know, intimidating shots, altering shots, blocking shots at the rim. You know, Mitch was great, man, averaging 12 rebounds on the season thus far. Had a perfect night against the Seas, 5-for-5. Obviously, you want to see the guards get him going a little bit more. But so far, I think Mitch has been every bit of what we've missed last year when he went down.
And it's funny because he's right now he's averaging, you know, again, small sample size,
yeah,
we understand, but he's averaging a career high in fouls with 4.3 fouls per game. He's never been that close. His other high was 3.3, and that was his rookie year. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, Mitch being, you know, making sure that he's in foul trouble. Is does he have a little bit more freedom to kind of just be him? You know, because what that has resulted in is a career high in rebounds at 12 rebounds per game. Even if he you know, if that goes down one or two rebounds at 10, that's still a career high. He has a good opportunity this season to average double digit rebounds for the first time in his career and even get to 10 points maybe and average a clear cut double double in a contract year. So, you know, things are and here's the thing. He's averaging double digit rebounds to start the season. Mm-hmm. I think that's more impressive because you're talking about a guy that came in the last preseason game, had 27 minutes out the jump.
Yeah.
Right. And now he's averaging 32 minutes in his first three games. NCP, he is still not where he needs to be from a conditioning.
He's just getting up to speed. Yeah.
You know, we talked about what we're going to look at early on is, you know, how is his jumping ability? How has his athleticism look? And to me, he's getting a little stronger and stronger as each game progresses. And he has a big matchup.
Yeah.
He has two big matchups this week against, you know, Joel Embiid and Vucevic. So, this is going to be a big, you know, an important week for him. And I think we're going to see this week what we've already known and we already seen. But we're going to definitely see it this week while he is, to me, the X factor of this team this season.
No question. No question about it. Salute to everybody in the chat once again. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. The play of the week. We're going to go with Julius. You know, the numbers speak for themselves, man. 28 points per game, 11 boards, 6 dimes. Didn't shoot it that well from 3 as he did starting the year off, but we'll see how he, you know, see if he can catch up. But there's no doubt, man, leading off with the 35-point game against the Celtics in double OT and then crushing the Magic in the first matchup on the road. You know, Julius was certainly the workhorse for us, man. 28 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, and 6 dimes for Julius. The stat of the week, JD, was obviously the 3-point shot. Through the first 3 games last year, we attempted 28 threes, and that we got that up to 49 threes this year. 12 3-pointers made per game through the first 3 games last year. 18 on average this year through the first 3 games. Average 43% from downtown last year, 37% from beyond the arc this year, man. Well, what's your take on a healthy dose of threes this year by Tibbs, man?
And listen, we're, you know, that 49 attempts is you know, number one in the NBA right now, and by a margin. You know, the second highest team is at 46 at this moment. So we're 3 full threes ahead of the second team. Mm-hmm. And that goes to show, you know, we're the third highest scoring team in terms of points per game in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the offensive stats, we're within the top 10. And you know, listen, Derrick Rose said 37 to 40. He didn't say 45 to 50. So I don't know. I don't know if you know, he juked us a little bit, and they tried to, you know, kind of ease up the fan base, and then they said, all right, we're going ham because they're definitely making a major adjustment. I'm actually slightly surprised that, you know, Tibbs is with that many threes. I mean, maybe the games have just played out that way, CP, but I don't know, because you're looking at some of these first halves, they had 23 attempts their last game against the Celtics. They had about 19 threes in the first half. So this is not something that, you know, it's developing late in games or in the second half. From the jump, you know, they're attempting a ton of threes. So that tells you this is who they're going to be, it seems like. So on the positive side, as I mentioned, because of the potential defensive deficiencies that they may have in the perimeter, you have to figure out a way how to counter that. So do we emphasize scoring a little bit? Do we figure out ways to, we can just score more points than the other team? And, you know, what they say, 3 is more than 2. On the other end, they're going to have to, you know, kind of be careful that they don't fall into just a three-point barrage right. every time. You know, every game is different, CP, so you're going to have to adjust to the game rhythm. But as of right now, hey, you know, the fans wanted more threes.
Yeah.
So, and this is, you know, it's funny. Last year, it was like, we got to shoot more threes. And this season, you know, we lost the last game. Everybody's
live
like,
by the three, die threes. By the three. We're shooting too many threes, man. I mean, look, that's just how it's going to go, man. That's just how it's going to go. You're going to have nights like you had in Orlando, and you're going to have nights like you had last night against Orlando in terms of, you know, either shots falling, shots. It's a make or miss league, man. And what we saw yesterday, look, what I like about the first three games in terms of our three-point shot attempts is that they are quality threes. You know, we're not just running down the court and chucking. We're trying to get good shots. In the first two games, we were moving the ball well. We were setting ourselves up to get some nice, high-quality threes. In the first two games, we were draining them. Now, we were still getting open looks last night. They weren't falling. And overall, I didn't like, you know, we just didn't have much rhythm in those games. And so, you know, the shots weren't falling. So, as a counter to that, like you said, we've got to figure out other ways to get buckets, other ways to score. And number one, that's going to be through the free throw line. And I thought, you know, Julius did a good job of doing that last night, even though the histories weren't falling. He went 2-for-10 from downtown. So, you know, that's a big one right there. But he still got to the free throw line 14 times and cashed in 12. So that's the way to do it. RJ, only one attempt. Fournier, only one attempt. Kemba, no attempts. You know, D. Rose, one attempt. These are, you know, Burks, three attempts. You know, these are guys that you're going to want to put pressure on the rim and try to draw some contact. So, you know, Julius definitely tried to make up for it. But overall, you know, when the shots aren't falling, we got to try to get to the line and get some easier high percentage buckets.
And the Knicks right now are second to last in free throw percentage in the league.
Got to make your free throws, man. 65%, man. 65%. That's not going to get it for you.
You know, we don't have Shaq on our team, so why are we shooting free throws like that? You know what I mean? So, and what's slightly surprising is, as you mentioned, it's the guys that are missing free throws are relatively good free throw shooters. You know, and what happens is that when you look at individual free throw numbers, right? Fournier will miss one. Burks may miss one. Mm-hmm. Randle will miss two. Individually, you could just say, oh, he only missed one free throw. And that play only missed one free throw. But as a team, it adds up. And next thing you know, you're playing a game and you've missed 9-8 free throws in a team. And you just can't have that.
Can't have
So, you know, they that's – and we can talk negative and then we can turn it into a positive because that's a negative – but I don't expect that to be – like, I don't expect with the shooters that this team has, I don't expect them to be second to last in free throw percentage, which is an indicator, again, of they haven't reached their full potential yet. Because what happens when they start hitting those free throws and now there's less pressure on them in these close games because they're getting to the line, they're hitting free throws. You know, what is that going to look like? So – you know, we still haven't seen the Knicks at full peak yet. I don't think we're going to see it. You know, going into the season, I'm always a 20 games guy. Mm-hmm. Let's look at 20 game sample. And then from there, we'll start to see what this team is going to look like. And, you know, and see how it happens in terms of just, you know, overall play. They just have to, you know, get it together, play better this week, and it's a fun week. I think they're going to respond this week, CP, because
I think they'll respond tomorrow. I think they'll respond tomorrow against Philly.
I think they'll revert back to, you know, the team that came out against
dogs.
The Celtics.
You need dogs.
And, and I think they'll respond. Now, in terms of your point on the three-point shots, you know, we saw the game against the Celtics. And as you've been saying, you know, I think this is what's going to happen all year. Because of the spacing that this team has created, and that was a big point that everyone was talking about in preseason, was look at the spacing, look at the type of shots they're getting. Well, you and I saw Evan Fournier had a tremendous game, but he missed a few wide open threes.
Yeah,
Obi that game had a great game. I think it was 14 points he had, and he didn't make a three. He had good looking threes. So, you know, even in a game where they scored so many points, they still had the misses that they missed were still quality shots. And I think with Tibbs, he's been consistent in that. Listen, I don't mind shooting the threes as long as they're quality threes in an 82 game season. Everything evens out. And if you're a good shooter, it ends up working out for you.
Yeah, quality, man. That's all it's about, bro. Quality threes. You know, you don't want to be out there chucking. That leads to long rebounds, and then you transition defense, your defense overall, you're putting your defense at a disadvantage. That's what you don't want to do. So, you know, they got to be quality threes. Now, on the defensive side of things, all right, last night wasn't our night. opening night, again, you gave 130-something points to the C's. You had Jaylen Brown almost drop a 50-burger on you. Got lucky that Tatum didn't get off. You give RJ some credit there. You also saw that Tatum missed some open ones, some bunnies as well. My concern, which has always been the concern, which is going to be a concern, as I've said, which is why I've pushed it to 46, is the perimeter defense, specifically at the point of attack, specifically Kemba, and secondarily D. Rose. You know, you had Cole Anthony go off last night, 29 points. Was it 18 rebounds? 16, 18 rebounds? This just absolutely dominated us. Yep. Are you concerned? Are you concerned, man, from a defensive standpoint?
I mean, I'm concerned, but I'm not as concerned as the fan base is, because I just think that, you know, even with all that, we still had an opportunity to go 3-0.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, it's a win, loss, make, miss league. And when you look around the NBA, I mean, I was watching the game yesterday. Davion Mitchell, who's had an outstanding start defensively.
Yeah.
You know, Curry's doing what he wants. You know what I mean? Like, this is a league that who really – it's tough to play defense. And yeah. I understand that with this team, because we don't have that superstar, because we don't have, you know, that elite talent that can overpower teams. We're that gritty team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a Tom Thibodeau team. So, you know, we're going to look at the defense. But again, you see the 3-point shots. That's how they're going to counter this season, mm-hmm. CP. And as a fan base, we're just going to have to adjust to the fact that, you know, what's the solution? So you're going to bench Kemba and start McBride? That's not going to happen. Yeah. This is going to be Elfrid Payton all over again, just the other way around. I fully expect Kemba to be the starter all season, right? As long as he's healthy, mm-hmm. I don't think that all of a sudden Tibbs is going to change it up.
No, I don't
think he didn't do it with Elfrid Payton. What do you think he's going to do it with Kemba Walker? That's not going to happen. So what the Knicks are going to have to do, what Tom Thibodeau is going to have to do is you're going to have to figure out minutes, right? How many minutes you ultimately want Kemba to play, and then find a way to maximize those minutes. Mm-hmm. That's why I would like going forward for Kemba to be more aggressive offensively in the minutes that he's out there. Him, you know, become more of a playmaker for us, so that we maximize his minutes. And okay, if teams are scoring on us, you know, then we're scoring on them and we're attacking the perimeter as well. Because to be honest, if you're asking me what's the solution, we don't have, you know, we have a rookie. We have a few rookies on the bench that can play defense, but I just don't expect them to be starters.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we are going to have to rely on Mitchell Robinson. We're going to have to rely on Nerlens Noel to give us the rim protection to cover for those mistakes. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to hope that we just do enough. I talked about this. Can we get just enough? I don't need Elfrid Payton defense or whoever. From Kemba, I just need just enough.
Yeah.
From Rose, I just need just enough. And I'm just confident in the offense to overcome that. Playoffs, that's a different story because it becomes a matchup game. So I'm concerned, but I'm not as concerned as everyone else because I just want to see a little bit more games. Let's see how this week goes.
Yeah.
And then maybe on next week's show, I can elaborate.
Hit the panic button a little bit, just a little bit. Just raise the alert level, just a notch. You know, last year this defense was great in protecting the paint. You know, they were topping the league in opponents' points in the paint. They were topping the league in opponents' 3-point percentage, three pointers made, top of the league in opponents' points per game and effective field goal percentage. So I think a lot of that is going to depend on how we play as a team. As you said, a lot of it is team defense, right? You know, there's a lot of dogs in this league. You're not going to shut too many people down. But when it does break down at the point of attack, I think it's going to be key for the other defenders, in particular our wing defenders, Julius, to, you know, help in collapsing into the paint. You know what I mean? Collapsing into the paint and preventing those high percentage shots. And then again, when they kick it out to three, trying to get out there or to force some bad, you know, untimely 3-point shots, you know, some tough 3-point shots, make it hard for the opposing team. And I think, you know, it's going to rely on the team defense in particular, because, you know, Cole Anthony was cooking Kemba all night long. He just can't stay in front of anybody, which is going to be a big concern. The size concern is also going to be an issue, bro.
Right. And you know, when you look around the NBA, there's not, I mean, maybe the Miami Heat, people were talking about the Celtics being this amazing defense, and you saw how many points we put up on them opening night.
Yeah.
Right. And so what happens is you're not going to have a starting five of all defenders, you know, like you're not, you're just, it's very rare to have, you know, the Detroit Pistons defense, you know, like you're just not. But what you can do, and this is why my expectations are of RJ and Mitch. Those two guys have to be our leaders defensively. Mm-hmm. And Randle can't be too lagging behind. He has to be right there too. You know, I understand he has to take a lot of the offense. So, you know, you mix and match with him. But RJ, who talked a lot today in his press conference about, you know, that's his focus. He wants to be, he said today, he wants to be all NBA. First team, second team, not third team, not mentioned. He wants to make. So if you want to be the guy, RJ, you can't allow, you know, Terrence Ross to score 22 points. I didn't know. I understand all 22 weren't on him.
Yeah.
But you got to accept the challenge. And, you know, a Miami Heat team, they rely on Jimmy Butler. They rely on Bam. You know, every team relies on two or three players that have to be your leaders, and they can make up for a player or two being weak.
Deficient.
On this team, that's why I expect RJ and Mitch to be leaders, Noel off the bench. That's the only way that it's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
You know, CP, we're going to have to put more responsibility on other players team to defense. Make up for their teammates. Mm-hmm. That's why it's team basketball.
No question. The team defense is going to be crucial. And look, man, we know Ross is capable of that. You know, he's Terrence Ross. He did it to us last year against the Knicks. What was it, the MLK game? Was it the MLK game where he got it going? We all know Terrence Ross is capable of it. And Terrence Ross is one of the better tough shot shooters in the league in terms of scoring over close defenders. He can get it done. He can get you a bucket with a hand in his face. That's what he's capable of doing. So last night was just one of his nights. Conversely, when he was at home against us, he didn't do anything. So he's just one of those microwave type of players that you know, can be a pain in the neck for you when he gets it going. So, you know, we'll see what happens on Tuesday. When RJ's got to go up against, you know, he's probably going to have to be checking Tobias. So let's see how he fares.
And it's going to have to come on those matchups, because when you look at the box scores around the NBA, all these point guards, man, this league has so much talent at that point guard position. It's going to be difficult for, I mean, I understand people, you know, Elfrid Payne was a good defender, but it's not like Elfrid Payne was shutting guys down.
You know,
people still get their numbers. You have to just win a few other positions. Mm-hmm, and RJ has to win his position. Mitch has to win his position. And the Knicks have to, you know, just keep shooting them threes and be efficient. And that's going to be the recipe for them to win games.
And as you say with Mitch, it's also rebounding. That's why his rebounding is so key, you know, to limit the opponent's second chance opportunities. So certainly some things to look at there. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CPJD Sports Talk on the ones and twos. Knicks weekly recap. We're going to get into our Knicks versus Bulls game of the week preview in just a minute. We're going to take some calls as well. Shout out my guy, Junior Caroma, sends a super chat. He says, salute CP. Salute JD. You guys do a phenomenal job, man. Love the show. I try to donate every show. Salute to Ashley and CK2K. Got to bounce back. Yeah, we got to bounce back tomorrow, man. Big game tomorrow. Offensively, before we get to the phones, offensively, I think for, you know, obviously there's some guys that you're still waiting to get going. You still want to see my guy Burks string together two good games. You still want to see Quickly get going. He got going against Orlando in Orlando, dropped 16 points. It was very efficient from three. You know, he's doing the whole one-eye thing. All right, you know, all of that was cool. But, you know, wasn't effective in the first game against the season, and not really in this last game against the Magic. So definitely want to see Quickly get back up to speed and really, you know, and really fortify that second unit. It can't just be Rose. You know, Quickly and Burks have to come through for us. So that's going to be huge. And then for Kemba, you know, I'm going to wait and see. I want to see how he continues to gel with the starting lineup, in particular with Julius. But I also feel like so far you haven't seen enough of the burst, enough drives for me to put pressure on the rim to really, you know, help get things going. So that's going to be something that I want to see going forward. It's only three games. It's only the first week. But I'm just watching to see how he's moving out there. Can he get us downhill in pick and roll situations and just really generate some good offense in the half court?
Yeah, and that's why I just want to give him time because, okay, he's not going to have the burst that he had in Charlotte. Fine. But this is a guy that even with the knee issue was averaging over 23 points per game in his last 10 games as a Boston Celtic. And he had the offseason to get better. So, you know, like I said, Derrick Rose has learned how to take that, you know, evolve his game without having that elite burst that he once had. So I just have to give Kemba more time. I can't just hit the panic button three games in. I mean, he was 4 of 8 yesterday. That's 50%. You know, a lot of players make money. You're going to make a lot of money if you shoot 50% in games this season. So, but it's the rhythm. It's the flow. It's not there yet. And also, like I said, you know, Tibbs has to help him out too, because it seems like we're running a lot still through Randle.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I would like the team to put him in more of those playmaking situations. Let him, you know, kind of dictate a little bit of the offense here and there. I want him to be aggressive and then see how that looks. You know, I want to give him a fair opportunity and then go from there. But this is a new team too. So above the whole history stuff and the injury, just naturally, this guy is on a new team, and this is game three of you know, him being around the new, just new personnel and finding a rhythm. So to me, three games is just not enough. Next week, we'll have a little bit of a larger sample size, and we'll see how he looks, by this time next week.
Let's get to the phones, and then we'll bring in my guy, Corey Tyler with the Hardwood Herald, and talk Knicks versus Bulls game of the week. Ari from Manhattan kicks us off. Ari, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, CP? What's up, JD? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing, bro?
How you doing, Ari? Shout out to you.
Thank you, man. I'm not worried at all, man. I'm not worried at all, honestly. After the first three games, Ari, I actually like what I see. Listen, at the end of the day, if the Knicks hit their foul shots and, you know, a couple of buckets go in, the Knicks win that game when they shoot, like, terrible, right? You know, I think what happened is the Knicks got cocky. They won two games in a row. Mm-hmm. People in the chat being like, we're going to win 82-0, you know, talking crap on Twitter, all this stuff. And, you know, I think the Knicks kind of felt themselves a little bit and got a little too cocky, and they're not good enough to take any team in the NBA lightly. And I think in the long term, this may be a wake-up call. It may keep them focused and know that, you know, this won't happen again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, this team kind of reminds me a little bit of the 2015 Hawks with, like, ISO Joe Johnson, Josh Smith, like a team that's very deep, that has good talent across the board, but not that, like, traditional superstar, right? And they were so dangerous because you couldn't key in on any one or two guys, and you never knew who was going to be to hurt you the next game. We have six or seven guys on this team that could give us 25 points a night. You never know who it's going to be. So I think when you have that kind of depth, it's going to play to our advantage. But the two things I just want to talk about real quick is that, like, I just think it's funny how, like, I call in the show, and when Julius Randle hits that game winner against Washington, and I criticize it being a bad shot, ISO Randle's not good basketball, and just because it went in, it doesn't mean it's a good shot. And literally everyone in the chat yesterday is talking about how ISO Randle, he's taking bad shots, blah, 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 simply because the shot misses. Like, these people don't understand that, like, you have eyes, you watch a basketball game. Just because a shot goes in or a shot misses doesn't mean it's a good play. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, teams could have off shooting nights, and that doesn't mean your rotations are on point and you're playing good defense. Like, use your eyes. Like, for example, okay, in my opinion, I've been saying this the whole time, I do not think Mitchell Robinson is going to stay healthy this season. I don't see it. The guy, two games in, and he's already got He's already risking it, right? Mm-hmm. So me saying I don't see it, I don't see him staying healthy, is not me being a hater. That's me calling out the obvious. You guys both know it. We all see it. The guy's like Gumby out there. He's like a baby Bambi over there. He's wobbling around. He jumps out to the three-point line like 10 feet in the air. He can easily land on his foot, even though he's not going to reach the ball. He plays reckless, man.
Yeah.
He plays reckless. I don't think I think you have to watch out for Mitch and just like, you know, I don't know, man. I think he's a very dynamic player, and I see his value, but I don't think he's going to stay healthy.
I hear you, man.
Last thing.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Hurry up.
I just don't, JD, you don't know this, but like apparently when, you know, people call in the show sometimes when I'm not in the show talking smack about me, and I just not going to address it anymore because the last time I addressed it, you know, people trying to make a name for themselves. So I know your boys, whoever it is, you know, if he wants to fix my flat tire and drive up from Miami to fix my flat tire on the Upper East Side, that's okay. But I'm not going to, you know, go there with that. Right?
So,
you know, next time do it while I'm in the chat. Right?
Ooh.
And I'm not going to give him any more shine. I'm not going to do any more of that stuff. I promise not to make any other people famous, so it's over, right?
Ari never forgets. That's one thing, man. Appreciate the call, Ari. Ari never forgets, JD.
If he's not live, he's watching the playback, so he never forgets.
He's
always lurking.
He never forgets, man. My guy C. Lee said that, what did he say? He said Ari gives himself a shape up with his Manscaped. Ari wasn't feeling that, man. He was not feeling that, man. Knicks basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Knicks tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NBA tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices on the same seats on another site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. So go to tickpick.com/KnicksTV today and use the promo code KnicksTV to save $10 off on your first order. Man, you guys already know I'm circling Knicks versus Hawks Christmas Day at Madison Square Garden, and I know TickPick already has me covered. So go to tickpick.com/KnicksTV and use the promo code KnicksTV to save $10 off your first order. Back to the phones, man. JJ from Brooklyn. JJ, what's good?
Yo, CP, JD, what's good, fellas?
What's good, man? How you doing?
How you guys doing?
Oh, no, what's going on?
Chilling. What's going on? Chilling. Just waiting for this Clipper-Blazers game to start in a few. Pretty hyped for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, so far, man, definitely got to say Rose has impressed me the most. Like you guys were saying, his three-point shot. He's a career 31% three-point shooter. With the Knicks, he's been like Curry out here. So it's pretty impressive, man, at this stage of his career to finally be hitting threes. You know, that's subpar, 31%.
Yeah.
You know, especially for a point guard. So really impressive. I'm still frustrated over yesterday, man. I can't even lie. Until we win tomorrow, we're getting that W tomorrow. Like, that type of game, that's like the game, God forbid, we end up, like, in the play-in or we just miss getting home court in the first round. That's the game we're going to look back on and be like, man, remember we were up 13 at home versus the Magic and we blew it. You know what I mean? So I just hope it's not one of those where, like, you know, we think of that game at the end of the season and, you know, it just hurt our playoff positioning or whatever. But I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's game. The thing that I want to see is Mitch. Like, this is why Mitch put
Mitch
on all that weight.
Mitch versus Embiid,
right?
Man. Mitch versus Embiid.
Yeah, exactly. This is the type of guy why he put on all that weight. I mean, nobody stops Embiid, you know, but obviously, he kills everybody. But if you could just... I would just be really impressed if he does a solid job on him. Let's see, you know, for that weight you put on, let's see, you know, if it's really going to help in this type of matchup. And Vucevic, you know, so I'm just really looking forward to
big
that
ones.
Matchup, man. RJ, I just want to see him just improve so bad, man. Like, it's been a little frustrating. Like, the three-point shot's been off. The creating's still not there. The finishing still really isn't there, but... Mm-hmm. He's still young. I'm not saying, like, you know, he can't get better. He could obviously get better. And I think he will. You know, I think because he's got the work ethic. You see it. You know, he's just got to continue to work because he's not the most gifted, right? Like,
right.
If you see there's nothing that he does that's, like, wow, this kid, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing that wows you. Yeah, there's nothing that wows you, man. Appreciate the call. But as he said, it's got to start on the defense with him. And then you hope, first and foremost, you hope the three-point shot is, you know, at least close to where he was last year, right? Maybe you may have a little slight regression, a couple points regression, but you hope it's still fairly within range of what he gave you last year, because that'll certainly lift up the offense. But again, you gotta give him some time, man. Definitely gotta give him some time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Will from LI. Will, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, CP, JD? How you guys doing this evening?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good.
Chilling. First off, hey, it was a blast at that home opener.
Will was nice turned up, man. My guy, Will. Let me tell you something, people at home, man. This is why you got to come out with us.
Tito, I don't know, bro.
This is why you got to come out with us to these events, man, because when Will from LI comes through, win or lose, man, you're gonna get your money's worth, all right? Because I don't care if you're one of those fans that's sitting down the whole time. If you're going with Will, you're gonna be standing up and going crazy at some point in the game.
Lit, bro. It was amazing night, you know. But to get to the game, I'm gonna get real quick.
Yeah,
and I don't want to sound crazy when I say this.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at Randle and Fournier and the way they play off each other, I'm not saying it's exactly like it, but mm-hmm. it's Jokic and Murray-esque. The way that you have a big man in that guard, that Jokic demands a double team, I think Randle demands a double team. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it kind of forces the defense to make a decision. So I love that offense between Randle and Fournier.
Well.
I want to see that go. Mm-hmm. The next thing is, I'm not really worried about RJ, because RJ – listen, that first game, Jason Tatum was in maximum security prison, and the warden was Young Rowan. He shut him down defensively. So he got it in him. So I'm not even worried about RJ. The only thing I'm worried about is the Obi and Randle lineup. It's great offensively,
mm-hmm.
but we lose a little bit on the rebounding. That's the only thing. Between the two, I would hope that Obi would be the one getting the rebounds, because I know he can jump out the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But there he might be prone to injuries. But that's one thing. And the other thing is Quickly. I just need mm-hmm. Quickly to get a little bit better. That second unit, it really worked last year when it was the Rose and Quickly 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
But other than that, I ain't worried about yesterday's game. It is what it is. It's the Magic. You know, Mo Wagner, whatever. I don't even know who these players are. I ain't worried about that game. It's on to the next. Let's keep it pushing. 50 Burger.
Let's go.
In the town, JD. Let's get
let's
it.
Go. Let's get it going, man.
All right. Let's you guys go. Have a good one.
Appreciate man. It, man. Stay up. Stay up, Will.
You know what I just realized? The CP that I talked about, you know, the two leaders defensively are going to be Mitch and RJ. And, you know, Will is talking about RJ. Yo, they both have some big weeks this week.
Big week.
You know, you're talking about RJ Tobias. You're talking about RJ Levine and DeRozan. See who he guards there, but either or is a tough matchup.
Who's guarding
Brandon Ingram? Right?
Who's coming in hot?
And then Mitch. Mitch has Embiid.
Yeah.
He has Vucevic.
Yeah.
And then he has Valanciunas.
Yeah.
So you talk about, and it's funny because those three centers are also, you know, low post centers.
Yeah,
they like they like to be a little bit physical.
They like to bang. They like to bang, man.
RJ's ambitions to be a defender is going to be tested.
Big time.
And Mitch's, you know, offseason regimen, getting, you know, adding that weight, that's also going to be tested. See how strong he really is, and so technique for Mitch is going to be important, so he doesn't get in foul trouble and he's able to actually maximize his offseason work. So it's a big week for the two young defensive leaders on this team.
Big week, and Alexander Walker can get it popping for you quickly too, man. He can get it going for you quickly. So definitely can't sleep on the Pelicans either. Avery Prince, I see you, man. Thanks for the super chat. All right, we're gonna get to another call, and then we'll get to our Knicks versus Bulls game of the week preview. We're gonna go to Christian from the Bronx. Christian, what's going on? Christian, going once. Christian,
yo,
yeah, loud and clear. What's good? Yep, what's good?
Hi, first time caller, long time listener.
No problem, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I just been hearing a lot of, like, you know, stuff about Kemba and about, you know, concerns about the defense, about his fit or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that you're not going to get better defense from a Trae Young, a Damian Lillard, a Kyrie Irving. So whether those superstars are on this team, you're going to get that same defensive concerns. You know what I'm saying? So what the problem really is with Kemba is that Julius is really dominating the ball while he's on the court. Like, he's really, to me, he's getting completely, like, zoned out the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he's averaging 8 shots a game. And last year, he averaged 16 shots a game almost, and he averaged 20 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for us to get what we want from Kemba, he has to average 15 shots a game at the very least. Because I'm a huge Kemba fan, so I'm a bit partial or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the concern is just it's on the offensive end. We have to let Kemba be Kemba. Kemba's elite. Kemba's, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kemba could get a bucket. It's just that we have to let Kemba be Kemba. Kemba's not – this is not Kemba, you feel me? So, yeah, that's just my point of the call.
All right, appreciate it, man. Appreciate the call, man. Definitely appreciate it. I mean, look, does he have to be a lockdown defender? No, but you can't be a matador either. You know what I'm saying? I can't just absolve him from playing defense totally. You know what I'm saying? The play on smart to take the game into overtime. You know, you got to cover.
Yeah.
You can't let Marcus Smart just take a wide open 3-point shot. That was on Kemba. Yeah. As we're looking at the play right here.
Yeah. Yeah. That second game against Orlando, remember I said he was more active. Like, that's kind of more closer to what you want to see. Like, we don't need elite defense. We don't need, you know, you're like I said, you're either going to get a bad night from Kemba defensively or you're going to get decent, you know, and I would hope that we get decent more often.
Give me decent.
Just give me decent.
He still might charge, you know, draw 1 or 2 charges a game, which is good. He's still going to put his body out there. But just to be sharp. That's all I'm saying. Just to be sharp.
And I think offensively, the organization is still learning. They're learning him. Like, what type of player is he? Is he at this point in his career?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, if he were to be, you know, still one of those top scoring point guards, then, you know, I'm pretty sure the team would adjust to that and make him a focal point of the offense. But if he is not there, if this is what Kemba's going to be, then they just have to carve out a role for him in terms of minutes and just maximize that. And like I said, you know, even with all that, we're still third in the league in points per game. We're first in 3-point attempts. Like, the Knicks' offense statistically is still very promising, and they just got to figure out these little kinks here and there. And I think when you have a deep team, you're going to go through a transition where you're just trying to figure out what's the best role, who should be, you know, scoring more, and who should be coming off the bench, and who should be the closing lineup. They have a lot of good problems, but when you have a lot of good problems, it takes time to figure out what's the best solution.
Yeah, That's a fact, man, and that's going to be on Tibbs to manage as we get into it. But look, still early, man, 2-1 on the campaign, JD, and I felt like, you know, we were on a seesaw this week. You know, we were on a super high, and then last night brought us to a low, so we had to even it out. You know what I'm saying? We had to bring him back to the middle, bring him back to the center, and just focus real quick. We got a big week ahead, 2-1 on the campaign. We'll be all right, man.
The guy above saw me having too much fun. Saw me having too much fun. He's like, oh, what?
I'm up, man. This is the cardiac Knicks after all. You know, I told you, man. It ain't always easy for us, man. So, nevertheless.
I'm hoping tomorrow I could turn the oven and the stove back on.
No question, man. We're gonna win this one tomorrow, man. We're definitely gonna win this one.
CP's confident.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's get it going. Let me get my guy Corey in here. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. CPJD on the ones and twos, giving you the Knicks weekly recap, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to get into our Knicks versus Bulls game of the week preview. Yes, sir. The Hardwood Herald, a.k.a. Corey Talba, is in the building. Let me go ahead and just set you guys up. Corey, what's good, bro? How you feeling, man?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Yo, doing all right, man. Hold on. Let me get you.
I know you're doing well, Corey.
Yeah.
The Bulls looking good right now, man. They looking good, so.
4-0. We tried to give it away tonight, man. But.
All right, so, yeah, man. We got my guy Corey Talbot in here, a.k.a. the Hardwood Herald. Bulls fan, nevertheless, but a basketball fan, man. And Corey, man, your squad is coming in. The hottest team in the NBA right now, 4-0. You know, you got Lonzo out here wheeling and dealing. We'll get to him in a second. But, I mean, what's been your overall impressions of this team through four games, man?
I mean, you know what? It's really eight games because they've taken the same energy that they had in the preseason and they brought it over to the regular season. And, you know, I know that a lot of people were skeptical of the Bulls and how this team was put together. But this is the most excited, and this is going into the year, this is the most excited I've been since Jimmy Butler was on the team. You know, these last few years, you know, when your team's going to be kind of bad, you got that, you know, fanatic optimism where you're trying to talk yourself into some players that aren't actually, you know, any good. And I couldn't really get there with the squads the last few years, but this year, you know, we made some big splashy moves and I was all about it. I mean, it was, free agency day was the day I got married, so it was a great day for me. I mean, I got married. We got DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball.
You checking for the Woj bombs when you reading your vows, man? It was deep.
Yeah. For real.
Hold up, before I say yes, hold on.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we got Lonzo. All right, yeah, we got Lonzo. Nah, that's what's up, man. Congratulations once again, man.
Yeah,
definitely
thank you.
Salute to you on that. And speaking of Lonzo, man, look, this was a guy that some Knicks fans wanted to shout out, my guy CK2K, if he's watching, because he was definitely a member of the Lonzo Hive. But you got to be impressed with what you've seen out of him, man. Dropped the triple-double the other night with no turnovers. Been spearheading the Bulls' defense. What's been your impressions of Lonzo so far, bro?
He's a lot of fun, man. I mean, he's bringing the same energy I feel like he had at UCLA. You know, when the last couple of years in New Orleans, like, I don't know if he was having this much fun, but he's playing with a freedom that I feel like he hasn't really played with in at least a few years. You know, he's taking step back jumpers. He's getting out in transition. He's actually even getting paint touches coming out of the pick and roll. And you talk about the defense, I mean, just night and day from what we had last year. And he's really done a lot on the ball and off the ball to kind of spark this Bulls defense to make them competitive for the last, you know, eight games that he's been wearing the uniform, including the preseason. I mean, he's the start of it a lot of times. And I was definitely coming into the draft, I was a little skeptical of how he would translate, but I got to give him credit because the way that he's, you know, dealt with the adversity of coming in hyped up like that, kind of not living up to the expectations and kind of rebounding off that and turning himself into the player that he has. I mean, he's the guy that every fan would love to have on their team. And when he's on your team, you kind of see all the little things that he does. So I'm thrilled that he's on the team. And I mean, it's a lot of fun.
CP, you know, Bulls going, not counting tonight's fourth game, but going into tonight, the Bulls were third, were tied for second with the Hawks in scoring defense. And Lonzo Ball is a big part of that. So you guys, it looks like you guys got yourself a good addition. And, you know, as a Knicks fan, the way we've started, which has been a solid start, but defensively kind of makes me think what could have been if he was a New York Knicks. So it's great, great addition. And, you know, he's the Bulls star. He's been a very good, you know, part of you guys' successful start.
Has the Corey, has the defense surprised you? I mean, going into tonight's game against the Raptors, I mean, you guys had 13 steals, 11 block shots so far through that, and fourth in the league in on defense. I like the Caruso pickup. You know, a lot of people, a lot of people were getting on me when I was rating it. I rated it pretty high, and people was like, "Yo, oh, you overrating a pickup?" I said, "Look, I felt like Caruso, along with Lonzo, is really going to help spearhead this Bulls defense, and it looks like they have so far."
I'm not surprised at all, and you know, obviously, that was the big question mark for a lot of people about the Bulls. But Billy Donovan has a little bit of Tibbs in him that you know that he's going to get guys to play defense. Like, even last year, you'd be surprised at what the Bulls' defensive numbers actually were. You know, the Bulls' problem last year is they just couldn't put together on both sides of the floor. But they were solid, and Billy's never coached a bad defensive team. So I was expecting them to come out and be able to guard. Like, obviously, DeRozan, you know, he's not, you know, Mr. Wing lockup defender by any means, but he even has had some impressive moments. He's had a lot of, like, weak side, like, really good rotations that have been impressive. And I think one of the big things that's kind of underrated, like, after the trades last year when the Bulls got Vucevic and, you know, they didn't live up to expectations, a lot of that had to do that Zach was, you know, away from the team for a while with health and safety protocols. But the Bulls were starting Daniel Theis and Vucevic together in the front court for a lot of the year. And that's not how the NBA game is played now. You know what I mean? Now you got Patrick Williams at the four, which is his natural position. He was playing the three last year. And the Bulls are just switchable, man. And I'm not shocked by it. Like you said, you mentioned Caruso. He's another guy. Like, when he's not on your team, you look at him cause, like, he's a meme. But that dude, he could actually hoop. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and defensively, he's unbelievable. Like, quick hands, fights through it. Like, you don't realize how big he is, how strong he is, how athletic he is until you watch him every night. So, and you know, we talked about Lonzo. I mean, the Bulls have a lot of defenders. You got a bunch of long, rangy wings off the bench for when the Bulls go small. And we've even seen some Patrick Williams at the five in spurts early on. So I'm honestly not surprised. Now, you know, I add to that, the Bulls played Detroit twice without Cade Cunningham, you know, we played New Orleans without Zion. You know, we're not exactly playing a murderer's row here, but you got to play who's in front of you. And and they've been taking care of business. Right. So that's all you could ask. And I'm not shocked.
And it's going to be an important week, speaking to that, I think, for both teams, Corey, because, you know, the Knicks, you know, are going to play the Sixers. They're going to play the Bulls. You know, they play a few games, and then they, you know, they're going to play the Milwaukee Bucks. They got some tough matchup. And even the Bulls, you know, looking at their schedule this coming week, they're going to play the Knicks is their next game. They have 2 days rest. They're going to play the Knicks. Then they play Utah. Then they're at Boston, at Philly, and a home and home, and then against Brooklyn. So I think for both teams in the next week or so, we're going to find out a lot with the, you know, increased competition.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like, it's good to start out with that light schedule. You get in rhythm, right? Yeah. It's kind of like an extended preseason, but it actually counts. But, you know, you mentioned those teams. Like, Utah is going to be a team that's going to potentially be in the NBA Finals if all goes well for them. The Knicks, you know, look, I'm born and bred New Yorker. I'm not somebody who's thinking that the Knicks were just, you know, a one-hit wonder. You got leftovers from the Thibodeau Bulls on that team. I know how these dudes are going to bring it every night, you know, like the Knicks are, they're always going to be a tough matchup. And, you know, we got Philly back to back, Brooklyn coming up. It's going to be tough for sure. Looking forward to the Boston game though. Cause I, you know, watching them against the Knicks and on opening night, I'm a little iffy on Boston as a competitive team in the East, to be honest with you. It's a lot of pound, 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 dribble, shoot with that team. You know, I don't buy into the teamwork. I'm not saying they can't, you know, they're not going to beat the Bulls. They got two scorers who can go off at any minute in Tatum and Brown. But long term, Boston's a team I got my eye on as a team that could be, you know, kind of the back end of the playoff picture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and speaking of the two scores, look, the Bulls have two good ones, man. Two all-pros in LaVine and DeRozan. And even though, as you said, you know, the schedule is fairly light, I kind of felt like you guys won a lot of these games with, you know, LaVine not really being the all-star that he was. Like, you know, your defense is really carried you. You're getting some contributions across the roster. So I think that's what, you know, makes this team kind of dangerous, is that, you know, LaVine really hasn't even gotten off to a hot start yet.
No, you know, he had two big games to start the season off, but he hasn't really been like, you know, the guy who's putting up 30 something points per game the last two nights. He's been quiet. He started off slow, still has his moments, still picks his spots. But that's the thing that's different about this Bulls squad.
Yeah.
Compared to years past, like a lot of these games that the Bulls are winning, they'd have lost, you know, last year, the year before. Like, you know, Toronto came back, even though the Bulls were up big. Last year, the Bulls give this game up. But when you have a guy like DeRozan, and you know, people could hate on him because he's not a big three-point shooter and whatnot, but when it comes down to it in the final minutes of the game, he knocks down free throws, and he can get to his mid-range shot whenever.
Yeah.
So to have another guy like that next to Zach, and then he's a playmaker, DeRozan, too. But, you know, he can make plays in isolation and pick and roll. So and Zach as a spot-up shooter is absolutely deadly. So to use Zach as a decoy sometimes is huge. It's huge. So DeRozan's been big, man. And like you said, they can both go off. They're both, you know, going to average over 20 points per game, it looks like. So it's been a smoother transition than I think people maybe thought it was going to be, because I think their games actually complement each other pretty well.
Well, JD, I mean, that's going to be on RJ and Fournier once again, man. Just like the Tatum and Brown matchup, you know, RJ and Fournier are going to get tested on the wings as well. You have two dynamic scorers in DeRozan and LaVine, and two guys that can get to the rim, that like to get to the free throw line, rather. So, you know, RJ and Fournier are certainly going to get tested on the perimeter.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup. I'm sure Corey would agree, just because of and I'm interested to hear what Corey's personal matchup that he's going to look forward to, because you have a lot here, you know, with Mitch and
Vucevic.
You have Mitch and Vucevic. You even have the young Patrick Williams and Julius Randle there, you know.
That's going to be a big matchup.
Kemba Lonzo.
Kemba Lonzo.
Derrick Rose going back to Chicago against Lonzo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like
Rose,
you know,
and Caruso. I'm sure Caruso's going to be trying to check Rose. AO and quickly. It's going to be some big matchups, man.
Yeah, there's going to be some big matchups. And I'm just interested to see how the Knicks play in terms of who they put Fournier on. Do you go with LaVine? If you go LaVine, now you're dealing with LaVine's athleticism. But if, you know, what's the better matchup? If you go RJ on, you know, DeRozan is a solid vet, very savvy, knows how to get to his spots. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the Knicks mix and match. All around the board, though, there's some very intriguing matchups.
Cool. Yeah, I was actually going to ask you guys, who do you think RJ is going to start on? You know, I know he's saying he wants to come out and be that guy who takes the best player every night.
He's got to go out of LaVine. He's got to go out of LaVine.
Yeah.
I think it's DeRozan.
You think it's DeRozan? I think he's got to go out of LaVine.
Because I think DeRozan's – well, I guess you can say, you know, if you can live with the twos, if you really want to look at it that way. But then, see, people say that a lot about DeRozan, but when he's on, he kind of dictates the game a little bit. He can really control the game, and he's an underrated passer. Last year with the Spurs, he played a lot of a playmaker role, and I believe he had a career high in assists. So you can use RJ's strength against DeRozan's mid-range game. You put him on LaVine. Now, you know, LaVine likes to run around a little bit sometimes, and when he's hot, he's shooting from anywhere. Now RJ now has to do that. Kind of rather have him be more compact on a DeRozan matchup and kind of see. So I don't know, man. I think you start one way, and then you see how who gets hot and who doesn't, and then you kind of mix and match. That's how I would do it.
I gotta see how Mitch fares. Well, first off, he's gonna get tested by Embiid tomorrow night, on Tuesday night. But I gotta see Mitch against Vucevic, because Vucevic has killed the Knicks. He's averaging double-double, 18 and 10 against the Knicks in his career. That's going to be an interesting matchup, but Mitch has got to, because the Bulls can't go small on you. But I think if Mitch can help control the boards and battle Vucevic on the boards, I think that gives us a leg up in the game as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough matchup for Vucevic because, man, I was watching the Knicks the other day, and Mitch is huge, man. Yeah.
Block, Ness is flexing. He's flexing every play. If he can be healthy out there, he's a good look.
You know, because he came into the league, he didn't have, this big body. Now he's got some thickness to him, and I mean, he's tall as hell, long as hell. It's going to be a tough matchup for Vucevic. For Vucevic, Mitch isn't a threat from the three-point line, so he could kind of concentrate staying around the hoop. So he's got that going for him, but that athleticism and that length, and you know, it's a huge part of the Knicks, you know, game, getting him back, having him healthy this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I also feel like, you know, for the Knicks, what they've shown so far, at least early in this season, is being able to execute out in transition. And that's where the second unit, to me, comes into play. When you have Rose, you have quickly Burks, and especially Obi Toppin. I think that's an area where they need to capitalize. You know, Bulls' half-court defense has been solid, but if the Knicks can force them in some tough shots, get the rebound and get out and push, I think that's another area where the Knicks may have an advantage.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, transition is when chaos occurs, right? That's when you get mismatches, cross matches, and you look up and down the roster. You know, Derrick Rose putting pressure on the defense. You got, you know, guys like Fournier and Quickly who are going to be running the wings, running the break. You got to run out, try to, you know, contest on those guys. You got Mitch running to the rim. I mean, the Knicks are a problem in transition, and, you know, we're not even talking about what Julius could do, you know, as a trailer. And I mean, it's they're a handful in transition for sure, and that's going to be a challenge for the Bulls. And I think that's one of the areas where Caruso is going to have to step up in this game. You know, he's a guy that's going to bring that energy, and he likes to play fast, get out in transition. He's got to do it defensively too, and I think he's, you know, maybe for the Bulls, he'd be their defensive X factor out in transition, trying to stop the Knicks.
Corey, how's their like overall bench? You know, in terms of overall rotation options that the Bulls have, all, you know, off the bench. You know, we talk about the Knicks bench, you know, the Knicks having a bunch of options on the offensive end and them being one of the top, in my opinion, you know, bench in the NBA. Where do the Bulls fall into in that conversation in terms of bench? Who are their weapons? Are they developing some guys, or is that an area that still needs improvement in your opinion?
Well, we're missing one of our biggest bench pieces in Coby White right now.
Yeah, you know, big piece.
He's still nursing a shoulder thing. I think when he comes back, the Bulls bench is going to be, you know, pretty deadly, having him come off it and just firing away. But right now, Caruso's really the only consistent piece. The Bulls don't have a second big man, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Vucevic, and that's it. You know, you could say Tony Bradley, but he hasn't really played this year. I think he's hurt. And then it's kind of a bunch of rangy wings. You got, Alize Johnson. You got Javonte Green. You got Troy Brown Jr. And so far, you've had at least one of those guys step up on any given night. And when the Bulls have been at home, those guys have brought so much energy to the bench. You know, they don't have a ton of size, and that's the problem with the Bulls bench right now. All those guys bring something. They can, you know, hit the offensive glass, kind of, you know, get in passing lanes, cause havoc defensively. They're great rotating over. They bring energy. And again, you know, when the Bulls are at home, it's a big, big help. When the Bulls are on the road and that's when you really need your benches to kind of, you know, bring
step
it
off.
Is
yeah,
when,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, is in road games. It's hard for the bench to be consistent in those situations. So, you know, I think that's going to be something the Bulls are going to have to look to upgrade at some point. But again, you know, Coby White's a big piece of that. And when he comes back, you know, it'll be a major help in, you know, hoping the Bulls bench plays consistently. Because right now it's Caruso, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, and you're guessing after that. But yeah, shout out Andrew H. in the chat that reminded us Coby White hit banged 8 threes on the Knicks, I think it was last year. So, when he comes back, that bench will definitely be interesting to see. But as you said, you know, with Vucevic and not much else in size, I think, again, that's an area where the Knicks should look to capitalize, get on the boards between Julius, Mitch, Obi, you know, RJ is going to be needed to get on the boards. Burks is a good rebounder as well. So I think, you know, controlling the glass is certainly an area that can help us. And then again, if we can get out and transition, get out and run, we'll be all right. I think it's a good matchup, though. I think it's a very, very interesting matchup between these two teams, very evenly matched. So let's see how that all shakes out. What's your gut telling you this early? I know it's early in the season, but what's your gut telling you about the whole LaVine contract situation?
I mean, look, the bowl season goes as well as it has so far, and you know, they're one of the teams that are competing for home court. I think, you know, it's going to be an easy opening day of free agency. Yeah. Zach LaVine signed a max extension, and you know, and that's it. I don't foresee the Bulls, unless they get really hurt by injuries, or there's some kind of COVID outbreak or whatnot, I think the Bulls are going to be there come playoff time. You know, whether that's, you know, they're fighting for home court, whether it's, you know, the 6-7-8, who knows, but I think they'll be there. And for Zach, that's what he wants. He just wants to be in the playoffs. He wants to be on that stage. He wants to show that, you know, he's not this guy that has the label of, you know, he could score a lot of points. Maybe he's an all-star, but he doesn't lead to winning, right? Mm-hmm. Guys shed that label all the time. Devin Booker shed it last year. Trae Young shed it last year. I think Zach wants to add his name to that conversation. So as long as they do that, I mean, he's got to be happy with how hard management went out and, you know, put pieces around him and built the team around him. So,
yeah,
I don't really know where else he would go outside of maybe, you know,
come play
New York.
With Tibbs, man. You
know, that's
come
really
play
it.
With Tibbs, man.
So, I mean, outside of that, it's like, you know, he's not going to go to a bigger market outside of New York. And, you know, I don't know what other teams that are actually competing can afford him. So I know you guys really, it would be, it's probably going to come down to Chicago or New York, but
yeah,
he's built a home in Chicago. And I think he's having fun playing with the group that he's playing with. So, you know, as a Bulls fan, I could only hope it keeps going as well as it has with this 4-0 start.
I actually see LaVine kind of in a similar situation Julius Randle was in last season, right? In terms of when you look at even trajectory of career, when you looked at some of the, you know, naysayers and can his stats impact winning? Can he experience the playoffs? Can he be the guy? I think LaVine is kind of feeling the same thing. So he's in a unique situation where he's not one of those stars that is going into free agent year like a Kawhi that it's championship or bust. Mm-hmm. So it looks, you know, that's the feeling that I get as well, that LaVine just wants to be in a position where he can compete in the playoffs and he can elevate and show that. And then, you know, he'll be friendly with the team and sign a long-term deal. So I think anything other than potential just flat out disappointment, I think it would be really difficult to see him in another uniform.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that one, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. CPJD, Corey Talbot, the Harvard Herald in the building. Just talking Knicks versus Bulls. Preview the game of the week, man. Bulls 4-0. Knicks 2-1, hopefully get another W against Philly. And now we got a real, real nice primetime matchup on Thursday. Is this a TNT game? Or is this a 7:30 game? I don't remember. I know the Philly game is a TNT game, I believe.
Or is it this is going to be, no, it's 8 o'clock.
So this is a TNT game.
No, this is just a regular game.
Oh, this MSG. Is regular MSG in Chicago. Okay, yeah. So tomorrow's game is a TNT game, and then Thursday just a regular game. All right, well, let's see what happens, man. So let's everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys. First week in the books for the NBA. A couple other news as we go around the league, man. Knicks news, actually. It looks like somebody had dropped this on Instagram and Twitter last week. It looked to be what looks to be the new Knicks City jerseys. Just a little semblance of it, JD. And I think this could be it. Obviously, it doesn't have the numbers on it, but it has a lettering. It looks like an all-black jersey. So the fans have been piping for all-black jersey. And then it has what looks to be a little tribute to the 98 or the late 90s jerseys that had like the little black strap down the side and the piping around the trim. Then it's got the NYC logo on the top. I mean, I got to see how the numbers look, but so far, I got to see how the rest of the kit looks. But so far, I like it, man. I don't know, man. A lot of people, it's been mixed reviews, but what's been your thoughts on it, JD?
I just think that, you know, the Knicks reviews are part of the fans. You know, it seems like the Knicks are teasing us. When you see the warm-ups, so the warm-ups that resembled, you know, the 90s and, they're giving us a little. It's like they're teasing us. And I think the Knicks fan base, that's the real, you know, uniforms that they want the Knicks to roll out. So, but this one, like you said, I got to see it with the numbers, man. I have to get used to it, you know, the black, and now with these new city uniforms, it's very creative. But I got to see the numbers, man. It's all right. It's all right. It's not too bad.
Corey, what's your take on these, man?
I kind of like it. I mean, I think that, you know, when you have classic brands like the Knicks, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Bulls, simplicity is the way to go. You know, there's so much history in jersey design for these teams. So, again, you got to see the numbers. You got to see the shorts.
Yeah,
you got to see what the whole fit looks like.
Yeah.
But I think it's off to a pretty good start. You know, as far as like the 90s jerseys, I think those maybe will come next year. You know, I know they did remix jerseys for the classic editions for the 75 years. So I don't think this is the year. And by the time next year rolls around, all these guys will kind of establish themselves a little bit more as like a consistently good Knicks team. It feels like the right time to bring them back. Mm-hmm. But these current ones, I kind of like them right now. You know, I'll tell you what, there's definitely going to be worse jerseys coming out.
Yeah.
Here's my question, though. How does that jersey have the whole quote unquote official tag on it? See the tag hanging?
This was a purposeful leak, man.
How do you have the tag, but then there's no number on the jersey? Like, it does. Like, if that's a legitimate jersey, how come it doesn't even have a number? Now, like,
it's like
we're going to the beach.
I will say the one thing that got me thinking it wasn't official is if you look at, there's no like size tag, like printed on size tag.
Mm. Oh, up where on the bottom. I think I see it on the bottom, but it's kind of dark.
Up top, like on the neck. So if you look, you could see on the backside the NBA logo stitch. And if you get a jersey from like, you know, China, from like DHgate or something, that's what it looks like.
It looks like a Fulton Street knockoff.
It looks like a replica. So, you know, I don't know if it's definitely the jersey. Just that was the one thing that I was questioning, like. You know, there's no printed on size tag in the neckline. You can only see, and because the jerseys now, like the replicas, they're pretty legit now. They come with the tags. They come with the bottom. You know, so but that threw me off a little bit.
Everybody in the chat that has the Chinese versions, they're like, we know what you're talking about.
Chinatown joints. Yeah. So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. My guy J Cal is in the building. Jason Cal Cannon, salute to J Cal in here. Salute to all the mods once again. Knicks Fan TV Day, appreciate you. Ari, appreciate it. We are here. Just wrapped up the Knicks Weekly, the good, bad, and ugly. And my guy Corey Taub of the Hardwood Herald was in here. We're talking Knicks versus Bulls game of the week. Fellas, what anything else you know around the league that stuck out to you? I mean,
I wanted to ask Corey a question because we had, you know, he was on with I think we did the mock draft, right, Corey? You remember that? We did the mock draft, and Corey's been on for a few draft shows. So I was actually, you know, excited, you know, to share the show with you today because I actually wanted to ask you. It's only three games, but you know, in terms of the rookies so far in the NBA, who I don't want to go on the negative side because three games is not enough, right? But on the other end, is there a player that has surprised you so far? Is there a player that has even validated what you thought coming in within the first, even if you even want to go to preseason into the first three games? You know, who are some of those players for you?
I'll tell you who I feel validated by off night. Davion Mitchell. Like, I feel like I was on an island.
Right now, man.
I was on an island with Davion Mitchell as far as, like, you know, the internet, because he was a little older. He's 6 foot in socks. The only NBA player that was going to be forced to play in socks, man. That, you know, they were giving his height without shoes. But, like, yo, he won the national title. You know, he was putting up monster numbers, and I knew his game was going to translate. And now he's just putting the clamps on dudes on a nightly basis, starting his career guarding Dame, Steph, Donovan Mitchell.
And, like, locked his spot out.
Stepping in right away, you're like, yo, this dude he might be all NBA defense as a rookie. So as far as validation goes, you know, I was banging that drum hard. But surprising, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but I'm a little shocked by how quickly, like, Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes, even though they were the third and fourth
good,
pick,
man. They look good.
They look, like, phenomenal. And Scottie Barnes is doing stuff that
I feel like he's going to be a star, bro.
Yeah.
He locked up Jalen Brown the other day. Right after his full body, CP, the night after Jalen Brown cooked us, Scottie Barnes locked him up.
Yeah. He's going to be a beast, man, on both ends of the floor.
He went to the right spot, man. Like, there were a lot of places that it could have gone wrong. Like, wrong is the wrong way to put it. You know, he was going to be good no matter what, right? But, like, you put him, let's say Jalen Suggs does go to Toronto and Scottie Barnes goes to Orlando, and now he's in a front court with Wendell Carter, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, and now it's crowded. They all kind of do the same thing, right? So you put him in Toronto, and now they're running. Eventually, they're going to have a lineup that looks exactly. Everybody looks like Scottie Barnes. Yeah, like OG
that
Ananobi,
is the wing
like
factory,
Pascal
bro.
Siakam.
Toronto is the wing factory, man.
Everybody's going to be 6'9", 240 on that team.
Facts.
You know, so he went to the right spot. And Mobley, man. Mobley, like, again, like, I don't know if he's going to be a number one option. I don't think he's the next AD. But you look at what that dude's doing right away, defensively, how smooth he's scoring. Like, you could slide him in anywhere, and he was going to make it happen. I'm a big, big fan. I'm glad that he's kind of figuring it out so early. Because in the summer league, in the preseason, you know, he had moments where he looked like he wasn't going to handle
kinda
the physicality.
Slow.
Like, so, but regular season, these are the games that matter. And he's come out, and he's looked awesome.
You got Josh Giddey playing well. Josh Giddey had a good game last night. I forgot who they played, but he dropped about 18 and 6. So Josh Giddey looking good.
He's the surprise for me because, you know, I mean, I didn't do much. You know, I relied on the draft analysts and experts. But from, you know, you saw we were doing the show, CP. We were shocked when, you know, these teams moved up and Memphis moved up.
Yeah,
and they thought they were going to get him. And then OKC got him. And, you know, all the talk about what's going on. He's a reach. And then, you know, now to see him play that, he's been a surprise for me personally so far.
And
he's
no
a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, and no surprise for me, as people in the chat said, Jalen Green, man. Jalen Green, he's going to be a star himself. Absolute beast.
Who do you have as the best? And if you had a player, has anything changed in terms of who you have as the best player in this draft in 5 years?
I mean, look, I still think I would take Cade first. You know, we haven't seen him. He's been hurt. That's kind of unfortunate. I was really looking forward to see what he looks like in the NBA. But so far, it's kind of played out. You know, I could definitely see a path for any one of these guys taking in the top four, though. Like, none of it would shock me. I mean, Jalen Green, 8 threes, 30 points the other night. You know, big time. You know, athleticism absolutely popped. Like we said, we talked about Mobley. We talked about Scottie Barnes. And I mean, it's going to be a situation where you could have the first five picks and maybe some other guys in this draft all could be all-stars at some point in their careers. And that's very atypical for drafts. So I'm just excited to watch the entire process play out for these dudes because, you know, this is one of the best crops of talent that you're going to find. It's deep and it had high-end talent. There's not a lot of drafts that have both like that. So the whole year, it's going to be interesting to see their progress. I'm going to be charting their progress on, you know, my YouTube, you know, kind of looking to do like weekly updates for who's popping off. So, real exciting. I'm stoked that all of these guys have popped off. I'm a little upset that Jared Butler's looked as good as he has because, you know, both of our teams
Corey?
Passed on. I told you teams were worried about the health. But, you know, obviously, it was a mistake. And you know, I was at Barclay that night, and I'm sitting there, the Bulls' second-round pick, and I'm like, uh-oh, he's still on the board. And then, you know, we passed on him for the hometown kid. But Jared Butler, that kid could play too. All the way into the second round, you got guys in this draft that are balling out.
And we still, you know, Grimes and McBride will come through too, man. We're waiting on our guys. Tibbs is just, you know, letting them simmer a little bit, but we'll see them unleashed at some point, man. So, yeah, as you said, man, definitely a deep draft class, and looking forward to seeing how these kids continue to grow. Also around the league, a friend of the program, Melo, passes Moses Malone for 9th all-time in the scoring list, man. 28 points for Melo, saving the Lakers' season against the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers were on the verge of an epic implosion 3 games in. You got Dwight and AD beefing on the sidelines. So, of course, Melo had to come through and save them from themselves. You know what I'm saying? And
all the doubters running. CP,
all the doubters running. And then here's LeBron when they ask him about Melo. Oh, everybody gave up on him. I'm like, bro, you signed Jared Dudley over this guy 2 years ago when Melo, the banana brother, was sitting on the sidelines. And you say, let's go Jared Dudley instead. So give me a break, man. You know, I like LeBron, but come on, man. Sometimes he's just full of himself. Talking about everybody gave up on him, you included. Can't make it up, right, man.
You see the campaign thing with LeBron?
Which campaign?
Campaign, he was talking.
Oh, yes, LeBron I did see that. Yeah. After Phoenix was serving him their lunch at home, LeBron was salty, man.
Yeah.
So a lot of pressure in LA
when he was playing the bottle against the Knicks,
it was all good. Then. It was all good, right?
All good.
Now you got to be a good sport when you're watching the Lakers up, man.
I wonder if this Melo performance opens the door a little bit for, you know, because Dwight even, you know, not to, I don't think Melo's extent in terms of impact or scoring, but Dwight was out of the league for a little bit. He came back. Melo, I wonder if it opens the door for some of the, you know, other vets, because this is a young league. So I'm happy for Melo. When you see that, maybe someone else, you know, Isaiah Thomas has tried to get back in. Joe Johnson has tried to get back in. You know, so we'll see if it opens the door for another team to take a risk on, you know, another player. So,
yeah, that's a fair point, man. We'll see how the whole Laker thing goes. I still don't like the whole Brody trade. I think it's just I don't see it working. I don't see it working for him. But, hey, they went all in for this. Let's see what happens, man. But I'm happy for Melo nevertheless. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, good show, everybody. Great job, Corey. Great job, JD. Salute to everybody in the chat once again, man. Hit that thumbs up button for your squad. It's been a great show. We'll be back at it tomorrow night. Knicks versus Sixers. Can the Knicks bounce back? You know, we almost had Armageddon on our hands last night, Corey, after that loss to the Magic, man. So we got to bounce back, bro.
Chat had to be on fire.
Chat was on fire. Last night, man. So let everybody know where they can find you, man. Definitely appreciate the time, bro.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Corey Tulliba. Just launched with a bunch of other great draft analysts, including Alex from Nick's draft film school. He's part of the team called No Ceilings. You know, we're right now every day during the week, we're going to be dropping a new preview for the best NBA draft prospects from each conference. We dropped the ACC today, talked a little bit about Paolo Banchero, you know, some other guys, little AJ Griffin, just guys to watch. You can check out the YouTube video NBA Draft Dude on YouTube. And I'm going to be bringing the heat this year with the film sesh, man. I'm going crazy. I got the game messed up this year. I'm throwing out warnings to all the draft dudes out there.
Let's go.
I'm not playing this year.
Let's get it going, man. Let's get it going. Well, you know, you're never a stranger on this show, man. So we'll definitely have you on again. But again, definitely appreciate it. And good luck to your Bulls, man. Let's go Knicks. Yeah. But
hey, I just gotta say too, the documentary, my man, the fire.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, so good. I mean, I'm sure everybody in the chat watching now has already watched the documentary.
Fantastic voyage.
You got to check it out because, you know, it's everything. It's community, the Knicks fandom. I mean, Chuck D, legendary. Yeah. I mean,
we had you in it. We had you in it a couple times, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. No, I definitely appreciate it, man. And for everybody in the chat, go ahead and go watch Fantastic Voyage right now, man. Definitely out on the main page. But Corey, definitely appreciate all your contributions to the channel, man. No doubt about it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, man. Anytime. I'm always down to come on.
Yes, sir. That was Corey Taliba. And so to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. We'll see you guys tomorrow, man. Knicks versus Sixers. Can we bounce back and get a W? We'll be back. You know where to find us, man. Knicks Post Game Live, presented by Manscaped. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. The best or nothing. Remember that these shows are also available in audio podcast format. You can go to KnicksFanTV.com to find tonight's show link. So for JD, CP the Franchise here, we will see you guys tomorrow night, man. Knicks versus Celtics, man. Peace. What they love in the franchise, the Spike said it's the only. I told you, I'm about to put on a suit and tie. Look like Jerome or something with that mirror. Cause when you look good, you ain't gotta worry about nobody telling you how you look. So never mind what the haters say. They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right? They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right? We all know right now who brought the city back. Tell D-Rose, Noel ties, let's run it back. With Burke said he inking in that new contract. Some new money, have you pushing that Maybach? I hear the talk, Katie say we ain't cool no more. We'll tell that to the Barclays when they open the door. Before the game, red carpets get rolled out. You see the stars, attendance mean we sold out. Ain't no arena feeling like this gym. Clyde with that brim, Nick jersey with some butter Tims. This for the ones that continue to love the hate. And how Max went from his first to his last take. They say, Boogie, why you talk like that? I'm spitting bars, so I'ma talk like that. Yeah, the media got me feeling like that. My James Brown saying this is my payback. They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right? They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right? Some real fans to the game, that mean we stay loyal. Twist the cap off the top so you can crown royal. I promise you about to see a league mess. I'm right beside Mr. Worldwide West. Gunning championship Escobar with the cigar. The next track, Mr. Dolan on the guitar. Play that. In fact, this a new anthem. Tell Mr. Insler you need a new Hawk anthem. Everybody put your hands in the air. I wanna see you with your hands in the air. Celebrate your life. Everybody put your hands in the air. I wanna see you with your hands in the air. You a Knick for life. They don't live how we live when we do what we do. We do what we do. They don't do it. We represent to the fullest. Just that orange and blue. You a Knick for life. They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right? They wanna hate what they love in the franchise. What Spike said is the orange with the blue skies. It's no city more famous with the nightlife. We celebrate feeling good, it's the Knicks, right?